KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. As many of you may not have known, I am in Nashville, Tennessee, having a few days with my family, with my daughter. She was speaking at a conference on race and diversity in science. And, of course, woke this morning, along with the rest of the country, to the horrible news about what happened in South Carolina, in Charleston. For those of you who are just joining us, according to AP and other reports, a white man opened fire during a prayer meeting inside a historic black church in downtown Charleston, South Carolina, killing 9 people, including the pastor. The pastor was also a state senator. The shooter is still charged. This is of great concern, of course. The victims, 6 were women, 3 were men. Now, according to reports, the shooter actually went in and joined the prayer meeting and was there for about an hour praying with people inside the church. Of course, he was welcomed as a young white man going into an historic black church. And then he opened fire. It's being declared a hate crime by all involved. The victims were shot because they were black. And many of us never thought that we would be seeing this kind of activity happening again. We, all recall the 3 children, the 3 girls who were blown up in a black church during the civil rights era. But, you know, here on Sojourner Truth, we always talk about what time it is and everyone having to wake up to the reality of what we are living in day in and day out. And this, sadly, is a sad reminder of this. Also, the Senator Clementa Pinckney was among those who were killed. Pinckney is 41 years old, married, father of 2, and he was very young when he was elected to the state house. He was 23 years old, and he was the youngest member of the house at the time. So we completely revamped our show. We had a special for you prepared. Our interim assistant producer rushed down to the station, and you'll have to forgive our sound. I am speaking to you by phone from Nashville, Tennessee. This is Margaret Prescott. We were able to get some guests on the line, waiting for you. Also, we'll need to communicate with my team. So why don't we go, first of all, to Tori Russell. Tori Russell, based out of Ferguson, Missouri. We caught Tori. He is at the airport, in fact, on his way to Baltimore, Maryland. Tori Russell, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Tori, it seems as though you and I seem to speak at these horrific moments, and I just would like to, first of all, get an initial reaction from you to this horror that we are waking up to this day.
What year is this? That was my initial reaction. What year is this?
Yeah.
I just can't believe it. A white guy runs into a church, kills 9 people after he sits in Bible study for an hour, and now it's a manhunt. And if you was a 14-year-old girl coming out of the swimming pool, they would have caught you. I can't see the rationale for the police at this point in America.
Yeah, you know, Tori, when you were recently out of the country, I was in Ferguson, Missouri, and I spoke to Mama Cat, who, as you know, did a lot of cooking for the protesters in Ferguson, and she had just returned from South Carolina. Of course, this is following the shooting of Walter Scott. And she talked about the fear and the trepidation of the people in South Carolina. Of course, the team coming from Ferguson, you all have been on the front lines, very much an epicenter of this movement that has now spread the country, this Black Lives Matter movement. And some people are saying, well, maybe this is in retaliation even for people who protested the killing of Walter Scott. I mean, I share your sentiment about what year is this? What time is it? Tori, your reaction to this connection with Walter Scott?
You know, I just think that not only do we see black people standing up, actually, for once, even some clergy. I think a clergy member last night went on TV and said, after one of the pastors said, "We're praying for peace," he got right on the air and said, "We've been praying on our knees for too long. It's time to stand up." And so what you're seeing is the community reacting in a way. This you know, I just think that it's a great way to respond. But I assume, or it leads me to believe, that seeing black people, brown people being killed, being harassed, even having civilians help out with the police like they did in Fairfield outside of Cincinnati, is empowering racists and bigots in this country. They feel empowered. They feel emboldened. They become more brazen. And there's no accountability. And it's getting past police at this point. And it's actually just not even civilians. I would actually say it's a form of terrorism, even on the foundations of what this country was built upon, which, you know, is really basic. If I don't have a place to pray, I don't have a religious sanctuary, you know, it's getting to the line of religious persecution and persecution for a whole race of people.
Right. And, you know, when you, Tori Russell, our guest, this is Margaret Prescott, and I'm actually speaking to you by phone from Nashville, Tennessee, where I'm attending a conference full of young people, by the way, talking about diversity, about race and racism in the field of science, and how people are locked out, and indigenous people, people of color. So, and in the midst of this, we get this news then about this horrific killing. Now, Tori Russell, I mean, we have what is now known as the swimming pool incident. You know, the idea that a 15-year-old unarmed black girl would be enough of a threat to a police officer that the officer pulls his weapon, basically sits on her, holds her down. There is Walter Scott. You know, there is Tamir Rice news on that Tamir Rice case that just broke about a week and a half ago. Of course, still not seeing any justice in that particular case. You are on your way to Baltimore now. So, Tori, just tell us, what is it that you think we all must do right now? What should we be focused on, and what will the message that you're going to be taking to Baltimore?
Well, right now we're planning for a year of remembrance in August in Ferguson. So I'm going to Baltimore to build with other organizers because we're trying to create long-term systemic change. But more importantly, if we don't get it from the system, then we need to create our own communities and our own safe havens for ourselves. And that means we're removing food deserts and economic industries and businesses that don't support the community, eating, you know, healthier food, getting an alternative and a more honest and truthful educational system. A lot of things that counter what produces white supremacy and racism in the system. So we're just trying to create small communities of resistance, pockets of resistance, that are safe havens from like-minded people of color across this country.
Yeah, well, Tori, we certainly appreciate you taking the time to join us on this very, very sad day. I remember at the time we got the news about Eric Garner in New York City, I spoke with you, and you were literally at the funeral of Tamir Rice in Cleveland. And it's like, here we go again.
We are joined on the line now by Reverend Grayland Hagler, who is a pastor at the Plymouth Congregational United Church of Christ in Washington, D.C., a past president of Ministers for Racial, Social, and Economic Justice. And Reverend Hagler, I wonder if we could get just your initial response to the massacre that took place in Charleston last night.
Well, it's a horrible tragedy what took place in Charleston last night. Our hearts break every time that we see a tragedy of this kind of proportion. But one thing is that it fits within the fabric of America. The churches have continued to be under attack. We can remember the children that were killed in the civil rights movement and Sunday school. And not only that, but church bombings and burnings in the 1990s that took place throughout the South. So the church has always been under some form of attack because it stands for freedom and it stands for people's quest to get close to God. And so therefore it does very often is a lightning rod for people who want to act out, people want to basically create a situation of terror.
And of course, over the last few days, just before this massacre, the right-wing media has been really in a frenzy over the case of Rachel Dolezal, an obviously troubled woman up here in Washington. And what role do you think this type of and fanning the flames of white racist paranoia plays by the media?
I mean, it has always been problematic in terms of how we continue to fan the flames, and we have entities like so-called right-wing commentators and news shows that pass as if they're sort of communicating some information, but they are not communicating information at all. It continues to fan the flames, and that's what's been going on. I mean, but one of the things I wanted to sort of really remind us of is that this is a long historical problem that has existed. For example, I can even point to what the shooting that took place down in Texas over the cartooning of the Prophet Muhammad. We failed to mention, even in mainstream press, that that was a right-wing racist organization. For example, we give them the cover of basically doing First Amendment, when it really wasn't First Amendment. It was about provocation. It was about attacking people who were different and finding ways in which you can irk people or destroy them or bring them down. It's a part of the racist fabric of the country.
And as part of Ministers for Racial, Social, and Economic Justice, what do you think that churches and church leaders, how do you think churches should be responding when things like this happen?
Well, churches should be responding in their natural way, and in terms of, excuse me, churches should be responding in their natural way in terms of speaking to their congregations. I just left a prayer meeting today around where we folks got together and prayed about that. Clergy got together and prayed. As some white clergy came to me and said that it's our job to dismantle white privilege and white supremacy. And I agree with them. It is the job of the pastors to begin to address that issue head on. Until we get there, people will not be educated, people will not be enlightened, we'll continue to go down the same road. So it's really up to white pastors to begin to speak to white folks about the dynamics of racism.
Well, I want to thank you for speaking with us in this really difficult day following a massacre in a church in Charleston, South Carolina. Again, I've been speaking with Reverend Grayland Hagler, who is the pastor at the Plymouth Congregational United Church of Christ in Washington, D.C. Thank you so much for joining us, Reverend Hagler.
Thank you so very much. Take care.
This is Jenka Soderberg with KBOO News.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 6 o'clock. Next comes Rose City Native Radio, and today we will have Tony Eaglehart Garcia. He's in the studio. We're going to talk. He's going to play some music. Later on, we're going to call Chris Tulane Sinclair, and it's going to be a fun show. All right.